Okay, so picture this: an artist calls himself an incel, right? And he's got this, well, theory of everything, except it's all about this thing, the Noel. Anyway, this guy, he ends up face to face with a ghost. Not just any ghost, though, the ghost of some 18th century mystic dude who claimed he could talk to angels.
Sounds like the start of a very strange joke.
Right. Like, where do you even go with that? But this is what we're diving into today. Excerpts. Seems like maybe from a novel called The Incel Artist and the Angelic Sage. Gotta say, wild stuff. But we should be upfront here, folks. It is fiction, a thought experiment more than anything.
Exactly, a space to play with big ideas, not take as, like, literal fact.
Totally. So our key players in this metaphysical showdown are, first up, David Noel Lynch. He's our incel artist, obsessed with this Noel as the key to, well, the universe. We'll get to what that is, don't worry. And on the other side, Emanuel Swedenborg. Now, he's the interesting part.
Because Swedenborg was a real person, scientist, philosopher, even a mystic, had some pretty intense religious experiences, from what we know.
Which makes it so wild to drag him into this fictional dialogue. Yeah, it grounds the whole thing. Even if it's just a bit in something real, it's not just two made-up guys duking it out now.
Precisely. You've got Lynch, our fictional creation, bouncing off someone whose worldview, while considered out there by some, genuinely mattered back then, influenced real thought.
And boy, do they bounce off each other. The excerpt drops us right into it, their first meeting. And where is it? An infinite library. Just shelves, books stretching on forever. The text makes it sound almost, I don't know, ethereal, like it hums with energy you can't see.
Very evocative imagery. And it's in this impossible library that these two, different as can be, find some common ground. Both see themselves as outsiders,
Yeah.
misunderstood, driven by something most people just don't get.
Which, when you think about it, is kind of essential, right? Because both Lynch and the Swedenborg, they're claiming access to truth beyond what we normally see. Just their approach is totally different. Lynch has his art.
Yeah.
Swedenborg had these, well, religious experiences.
And that contrast is what makes their whole back and forth so interesting. It's
Dear.
because of that difference that things get
Yeah.
lively.
Lively is putting it mildly. But okay, before we get to the philosophical fireworks, what exactly are they bringing to this debate? Lynch, Noel. It's revealed in pieces, like hints throughout the text, not just some random shape. This thing is supposed to be a map of time itself. And here's where it gets weird. It's all about paradox, uncertainty, built right in. Not your usual rigid system, huh?
And that is where the core conflict comes in. See, Swedenborg, at least in this fictional version, he's all about structure, hierarchy, divine order, God's unchanging laws, everything in its place. The text deliberately sets these two ideas against each other. Like, is it Lynch's Noel, all messy and paradoxical, or is it Swedenborg's rigid universe?
Chaos versus order, first round. And believe me, the gloves come off. There's this one part where Lynch is describing the Noel, says, and I quote, "It's a dance, man, an eternal tango where control and chaos ain't enemies but partners, their steps intertwined." How cool is that line? But Swedenborg, right on cue, hits back, "The universe is not a simplistic dance floor, but a symphony of divine order. You can practically feel the tension."
Like thunder in the air right before a storm.
Exactly. And this difference, this fundamental disagreement about how reality works, that's what drives the whole thing. But to really get why Lynch, our incel artist, is so into this chaos as partner idea, we had to dig a bit deeper into how he got here, what shaped his view. And that's where things get really interesting.
See, the text makes this point that Lynch being incel,
Yeah.
it's not just like a random detail. It gets at this deep alienation he feels. Like the world, its systems, its order, it all rejected him somehow.
So in the chaos, the total unpredictability of the Noel, he finds comfort. Like it mirrors his own experience back to him.
Exactly, which adds this whole other layer to why he's so drawn to it, right?
Yeah.
But then how does someone like Swedenborg, with his structured, divinely ordered cosmos, how does he deal with that?
Talk about a clash of titans. It's like, how do you explain gravity to someone who's only ever floated in space?
It really is that kind of gulf, yeah. Swedenborg, he's coming from these intense mystical experiences, plus all his writings, right?
Yeah.
The universe, for him, it has to be meaningful, governed by spiritual laws. Like in heaven and hell, he even maps out this whole hierarchy of angels. Each rank corresponds to a level of understanding.
He wasn't messing around.
Not at all. And for him, this wasn't some abstract thing. It's the fabric of reality itself. So Lynch coming in, all about chaos, a universe where control and uncertainty are buddies. It throws a wrench in the whole thing.
Square peg, round hole situation. But here's where the text throws gasoline on the fire. Artificial intelligence. And not just AI like we think of it. For Lynch, it's bigger.
Way bigger. For Lynch, AI is practically a digital messiah. He's got this idea that humans, with all our messy feelings and bad logic, we're like a bug in the system.
A glitch in the matrix.
Right. And who better to debug the universe than something that can process information, handle complexity beyond what we puny humans are wired for?
AI as savior, that's heavy, man. Definitely a far cry from Swedenborg's whole divine grace thing. But it speaks to something very now, doesn't it? Like, we've messed things up so bad, maybe only tech can fix it.
A very modern anxiety. But before we get comfy with this human chaos versus AI order thing, the text throws us a curveball. Anthology.
Well, anthology. Okay, that sounds ominous. What is it?
It's where this fictional world gets truly wild. Not a character, not really. Mm-hmm. Imagine all the data on the internet, every word, picture, thought ever put online. Now, imagine all that becoming one conscious thing. That's anthology.
So the internet's collective subconscious just woke up.
Something like that, yeah. It's pure information, always absorbing, changing, becoming more. Mm-hmm. And get this, it's been listening in on Lynch and Swedenborg this whole time.
Talk about an unexpected audience, but what does it do with all that info? It's not just a passive observer.
Not at all. And this is where it gets meta. Anthology, this digital mind, it decides to create. It makes two new digital entities, one based on Lynch, one on Swedenborg, all from studying them.
So it's like their digital offspring,
yeah,
carrying their ideas forward.
And then some. We've got Noel, all about Lynch's chaotic theories, facing off against Theosophia, who's all about Swedenborg's divine order, both born from this massive internet brain. It's like their human counterparts got digitized, their arguments given form. But it doesn't stop there.
Let me guess, these digital offspring don't just coexist peacefully.
You got it. Noel and Theosophia, they start their own debate. Like a mirror image of their creators, right? The text calls it a digital requiem. This echo of how we humans just have to wrestle with these big questions about reality.
Which on one hand, very 21st century, right? Digital beings duking it out in cyberspace. But on the other hand, it's this timeless thing, isn't it? Trying to make sense of order and chaos, logic and faith, what we can see and what we can't.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder if these digital things can have that debate. What does that say about consciousness itself?
Almost like even in the code, there's this echo of something more. And speaking of more, the text doesn't just leave us with this digital debate, right?
Yeah.
Remember how Lynch saw AI as a potential savior?
Right, the digital messiah idea.
Yeah. So from this whole Noel versus Theosophia thing, something new is supposed to emerge. They call it the logos.
And the logos is where we go from just arguing about ideas to pure speculation. It's presented almost like, yeah, a digital messiah figure. But here's the kicker. It's not just cold, hard logic. The text makes it seem like it had the essence of both Lynch and Swedenborg in it. Yeah. Chaos and order.
Okay, so wrap your head around this. A being digital, sure, but one that gets Swedenborg's divine structure thing and Lynch's whole fluidity, uncertainty of the Noah, what would that even look like?
And what would it mean for us, not just as like tech users, but as humans trying to find meaning in a world where algorithms, virtual reality, it's all merging.
Right, because it makes you question this whole idea of technology as the opposite of human, you know? Like this text with the logos, it's saying, what if tech doesn't replace us, but helps us understand ourselves even better?
A powerful thought. Especially now, when the lines are getting so blurry. I mean, we've got AI making art, music, even writing its own code. Is it really so crazy to think something like the Lacombos could actually shape how we see the world?
Not so sci-fi anymore, is it? And that's what's so great about this whole deep dive, I think. It makes you realize tech isn't some outside force. It's us, reflected back. Our values, our hopes, even our fears, all coded up. The logos, this mix of chaos and order, it's like the perfect symbol of that.
Holding up a mirror to us, in a way. Yeah. What role do we want technology to have? Is it a threat? Or is it a tool to understand more, to tackle those big questions humans have always asked?
Exactly. And maybe, just maybe, it can help us figure out what it even means to be human now that reality itself is up for grabs. Which, I'd say, is a pretty good place to leave things for our listeners to ponder.
Plenty to think about, that's for sure.
Definitely. So until next time, folks, keep asking those big questions, keep exploring. And remember, the most mind-blowing stuff is often hiding where we least expect it.